Howard Thurman's The Search for Common Ground, Preface. This particular book has been more than 4 years in the making. The journey has led me into areas of exploration somewhat foreign to my immediate academic interests. It was a weary experience getting the feel of an unfamiliar vocabulary as the concept unfolded before me. When I finished the first 5 chapters, my mind came to a dead end. For a long time, it was not clear to me what the meaning of my pursuit for community would be in terms of the present tensions between black and white in America. From my childhood, I have been on the scent of the tie that binds life at a level so deep that the final privacy of the individual would be reinforced rather than threatened. I have always wanted to be me without making it difficult to be you. When I completed this manuscript, I was struck by the feeling that here I had set down the case in front of formal terms for what reveals itself as my lifelong working paper. This is suggested and often stated in previous books such as The Creative Encounter, Jesus and the Disinherited, and Footprints of a Dream. And the present volume comes full circle in a wider context, rooted in the life process itself. The paradox of conscious life is the ultimate issue here. On the one hand is the absolute necessity for the declaration that states unequivocally the uniqueness of private life, the awful sense of being an isolate, independent, and alone, the great urgency to savor one's personal flavor, to stand over against all the rest of life in contained affirmation, while on the other hand is the necessity to feel oneself as a primary part of all life, sharing at every level of awareness a dependence upon the same elements in nature, caught up in the ceaseless rhythm of living and dying, with no final immunity against a common fate that finds and holds all living things. In a sense, therefore, I have been writing this book all of my life. Over and over again, I have asked myself, what is the common ground that floats the private adventure of the individual or solitary life? Is it merely conceptual? Is it only the great idea, the hunger of the heart rationalized into a transcendent God idea, concept, or notion? Or are these but the scent of the eternal in all living things, perhaps reaching its apotheosis in man and in the religious man in particular? Such questions become a personal crisis for a black man living in America today, in the last decades of the 20th century. At this moment, there is a vast urgency for separateness, for isolating the black experience from the American experience in general, and establishing on the basis a grand windbreak behind which the black community can define and articulate its unique identity as a self-conscious participant in American and indeed world society. All of this is interpreted as a necessary technique of survival by which both the private and public character can be defined. In the intensity of the urgency, the lines of separation between black and light are seen psychologically as being absolute, and everything in the past that is contrariwise must be regarded as false, degrading, and evil. This book is one man's statement of how he deals with the ambiguities created by the existential period in which his life must be lived. There is a relentless ambivalence for me in honoring the sources of my own integrity and inspiration, while at the same time recognizing the relevance to the times in which I am now living. In the first chapter, I define the meaning of the search for common ground in a broad and fundamentally philosophical context, in language that a thoughtful reader will not find too involved or abstruse. I urge the reader to follow the thread of the basic thesis as set forth there. The second chapter examines the racial memory as set forth in the query accounts of creation that tell of a time when there was harmony and community among all living things as a part of the givenness of the Creator to His creation. It was a time of wholeness and innocence, with no active, divisive principle at work. That innocence was lost, and the long struggle for community familiar to mankind was begun. This racial memory is universal and is not unique to any particular cultural, religious, or ethnic origin. The third chapter deals with the character of the search as found implicit in all living structures, including man and some of the problems created by his autonomy and self-consciousness. The fourth chapter interprets the meaning of the search as defined in utopias. In the dreams of the seers and prophets, harmony, by definition, is built into the structured societies. What we see is a deliberate creation of the dreamer and an echo of what he seeks in an immediate world in which his life is being lived out. The fifth chapter is a look at the common consciousness binding all living things and the way in which the separate forms, dividing one kind of life or one particular expression of life from another, seem to be final and absolute. Attention is given to the experience of going beyond the division, for instance, between man and animals, to discover their common ground as a true basis of communication and understanding between them. The final chapter explores the meaning of the search for identity, which is the mood and necessity for the black man, who for the first time in American society is beginning to think of himself as an integral part of the society in his own right. This intensive and increasing polarization in society has brought the issue of identity into sharp focus for minorities, therefore allowing them to reject all arbitrary social classifications arising from the larger society. For the religious man, there rides always on his horizon a timeless, transcendent monitor by which not only is the direction of his life somehow guided, but also by which he is stabilized in the midst of the contradictions of his experience. But this does not release him from the necessity of seeking always to locate his profoundest religious insight in the very structure of his life as a living human being, spawned from the womb of the earth and as a participant in that which sustains and supports all life on the planet. Ultimately, all the dualisms of his experience as a creature must exhaust themselves in a corroborating unity fundamental to life, not merely dependent upon that which transcends life by whatever name they seek to patronize it. I dreamed I saw a land, and on the hills walked brave women and brave men hand in hand. They looked into each other's eyes, and they were not afraid. And I saw the women also hold each other's hands. And I said to him beside me, "What place is this?" And he said, "This is heaven." And I said, "Where is it?" And he answered, "On earth." And I said, "When shall these things be?" And he answered, "In the future." A poem from Olive Schreiner.